everyone. Thanks for joining us today on James Dobson's Family Institute. I'm Jessica Sutton with the broadcast department, and we just wanted to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and ask that you would join with us in taking time this holiday season to remember what the holiday is about and Jesus's sacrifice and the gift of salvation that he's brought to us. We hope that you have a great Christmas and a blessed New Year.
And I am Ariel Daves, audio editor and engineer here at Family Talk, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Did you know that today is something called Giving Tuesday? This is an online national giving event that has become a social media phenomenon. It's grown in impact each and every year. It occurs on the Tuesday right after Black Friday, hence the Giving Tuesday moniker. It's a chance for you to donate online to your favorite ministry or charity. And we are hoping that one of your favorite ministries and charities is the James Dobson Family Institute. Now, we want to thank you for your prayerful consideration about supporting us today here on Giving Tuesday. And here's the good news, really exciting part. Every dollar that you donate today here on Giving Tuesday will be matched dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar for dollar match today only. So please go to drjamesdobson.org or find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and help us make that impact felt by families everywhere. Welcome to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, thanking you for joining us today for what is going to be a very special radio program. Throughout the entire month of December, we are highlighting the broadcasts that were the most listened to during the past year. So sit back and enjoy this popular program from 2019 right here on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Today on Family Talk.
Are there discernible patterns throughout history that connect the past, present, and future? Well, today's guest on Family Talk will explain how Israel's customary year of Jubilee may have foretold critical historical events. Hello, everyone. I'm Roger Marsh, and this is Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute. In just a moment, you'll hear part two of Dr. Dobson's recent interview with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Rabbi Kahn is the New York Times bestselling author of books like The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and the Book of Mysteries. Rabbi Kahn also serves as senior pastor and messianic rabbi of the Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel. He's an international speaker and most notably addressed the U.S. Congress and the United Nations as well. Rabbi Kahn's latest work is a book called The Oracle, which is already a bestseller on Amazon with over 300,000 copies printed. Now, to quickly review from our last program, the book's main character describes seeing a vision of seven doors. Yesterday, Dr. Dobson and Rabbi Kahn only explained the first door and the significance of the year 1867. Today, they'll unpack how Israel's reappearance on the world stage was predicted by key historical figures and events. There's a lot of content to get to, so let's get started. Here again is Dr. Dobson with his guest, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, on this edition of Family Talk.
Last time we had been starting to talk about seven doors, and
yes,
we'd only talked about one.
Yes.
There was so much to say, and I bet you left a lot out from that. But there was a stranger that you write about, and he is not a fictional person.
No.
He is a real person. Tell us again what you were starting to say at the program last time.
Yeah, Moses gives a prophecy that a stranger will come to the land before God starts restoring Israel. So it's a sign. He's really, stranger's going to come and he's going to say how desolate, how hopeless the land is. That's exactly what Mark Twain said. By the way, Moses says he'll speak about the curse of the land. Mark Twain, he's a skeptic, but he uses the same word. He said, this is the most desolate land in the world, the promised land, Israel. But it's like when everything looks hopeless, that's when God starts moving. So we even looked at his name. He's born with a name. His parents give him a name that's going to be prophetic in his life.
Samuel.
Samuel, the Lord has heard the prayers of the people, and Clemens has been merciful. And that's when it says God's going to start bringing you back. There are different ways we can talk about the last days and end times, but in knowing the end times with Israel is a key sign. This is really the beginning of that. In a sense, the end times with with Israel begin in this year with all these things start happening, 1867. And it starts with the beginning of the visit of the stranger, and everything begins. I won't say much because there's so many mysteries in each door. We're in the first door. We'll get to the other ones. In the Bible, there's a man who appears with a measuring line. The prophet says, I saw the man with a measuring line. It was an angel. The sign was that God was going to rebuild Jerusalem. He's going to rebuild. He's going to bring his people back, you know. A man with a measuring line actually appears the same year as Mark Twain in Israel, and he starts measuring for the first time, measures biblical Jerusalem. It's the beginning. And actually, he's going to stumble on a shaft that he finds a lost city that has been covered up for 2,000 years. And it's actually the biblical Jerusalem was lost for 2,000 years. It says, in the year of Jubilee, the land will return to you. This is the possession. Jerusalem, the biblical Jerusalem, reappears in the year of Jubilee after 2,000 years.
Actually called the date.
Yeah. And when I looked at this, when I looked at the man, he's actually famous too. His name is Charles Warren. And he's the one with the measuring of Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem when Mark Twain, the stranger, they're both together the same week, and they both stay at the same hotel. They're both in the same building, and they don't know each other. They don't even know that. And Charles Warren, man with a measuring line, will go home, and what he will do is he'll write a prophetic book called The Land of Promise, where he says, you know, though it looks hopeless, this land can bring millions of Jewish people can come back. They can plant the desert, and it will blossom. And he goes through this whole prophetic thing, but it's all part of this mystery. Everything begins this first Jubilee, 1867.
And that is what was behind the first door.
Yes, and much more.
That's in the book.
Yes, that's
okay,
in the book.
Okay, we're going to the second
door. Okay. All these seeds are planted that year, and all these seeds are going to come to fruition in our lifetime. But it begins then. But then the Jewish people start returning slowly. You know, this persecution comes. They start coming back to the desert. They don't know what to do. They've never planted anything before, and this land is hopeless. But God says, I'm going to make that land blossom again. So they're coming back. And what happens if you count 50 years? If you count 50 years, it's going to take you to the year 1917. Is that significant? Could anything have happened? Remember, the mystery is it's always going to be something about restoration.
I know that year.
I know. The mystery is going to break out over the entire world. Now an entire world war is going to be part of it. First World War. Who occupies the land? The Ottoman Empire. They're Muslim. There's no way they're going to give their land back to the Jewish people. They get drawn into the war on one side. On the other side is the British Empire. The British Empire had a revival. And so there are a lot of people who love the Jewish people. And so God allows both of them get drawn into the war, one on one side, one on the other. And just as the year of Jubilee is approaching, 1917, at the end of 1916, there's a government in power in England that doesn't want the Jewish people to go back. And just as the year of Jubilee approaches, the government crumbles. And God raises up two men, each one who've been raised with the Bible. One of them is David Lloyd George, becomes the prime minister, raised in the Bible. The other one is Arthur Balfour, who is a passionate believer, born again, passionate believer. One becomes the prime minister, the other becomes the foreign minister, linked to this. Just at the very moment when Britain's going to be crucial to this mystery. I mean, God raises up kingdoms and he sets them down. You know, this is the God of the Bible is the God of now. You know, and so what happens is they come to power and they issue the Balfour Declaration. What happens to the Jubilee? The land returns to the people. The Balfour Declaration is Great Britain's first proclamation like this since ancient times. Says the land of Israel, we are saying yes, that it will be a homeland again for the Jewish people. Now, this is unprecedented after 2,000 years of hostile, since Rome came and drove them out. First time. But they don't have the land. They haven't won it yet. But now God moves things together. The British Empire is drawn to the Middle East under another Christian who was raised with a Bible, whose name is Allenby, General Allenby, who didn't want to become a soldier, but God uses it all together. Allenby's walking with a Bible. You know, he's following the Bible as he goes into the land. And what happens is he heads to the land, and as he goes, God gives him favor. It says in the year of Jubilee, the occupier has to leave your land. If someone took over your home, they got to get out. Well, the Ottoman Empire starts fleeing before Allenby, and they start fleeing land. Finally, he gets to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem comes, and the Ottoman Empire flees Jerusalem. All happens in the year of Jubilee. The land is given back to the Jewish people with a promise that it will be a home, year of Jubilee. But there's mysteries here, because one is, in the book of Daniel, there's a number that is given at the end of Daniel. It says, this is the number when the occupier of Jerusalem has to end. It's saying someone's going to occupy Jerusalem, but at the end, they have to flee. And it gives a number. The number is 1335. It's 1335, actually, days, but it's a prophetic thing, even for the future. But that's the number when the occupier has to go, 1335. All of a sudden, in the Middle East, the number 1335 starts appearing all over the Middle East, starts appearing all over the Arab world, Israel, all over. It appears on the coins. Why? Because it just so happens, God of history, just so happens the Muslim calendar marks that year of Jubilee as the year 1335, the year that the occupier has to get out. Uh-huh. And so it all comes in 1917, the very year. As Allenby's soldiers, you know, they're heading to Jerusalem. And Allenby does something that has never been done in any war over Israel before. He says, we have to have wings over this land. We can only win it if we have the air. Now, airplanes had just been invented a little before. So he calls for wings. The Allenby's airplanes take over the skies. They drive the German-led planes out. Because of that, they win the war. They now know where the enemy is. And because of that, Jerusalem ends up not being destroyed in the battle. But there's a prophecy in Isaiah that says, Lord says, I will deliver Jerusalem as a bird flying, as passing over, I will deliver it. There's a book called the Book of Common Prayer. We all know, you know, and the English church use it. And when they open it up every morning, there's a scripture appointed for that morning. When the Allenby soldiers open up their Book of Common Prayer the morning of this victory of Jerusalem, which involved wings, they open up. And what's the word? The word appointed is, the Lord will deliver Jerusalem as birds flying. Who could put that together? It just doesn't stop. I said, Lord, you are so amazing. You're in charge of everything, you know. And this is a word also for all of us, because the God of Israel, if he's so in charge of every detail, he's also in charge of every detail of your life. Don't ever forget that.
Yeah.
And this is showing it. And if he doesn't forget his promise to Israel 2,000 years, he's not going to forget his promise on your life. You know, God is real and his word is real and he's intricate, you know, in everything. I'll throw one more in, just one more thing. There's so much more in this door. This is the second door, but so much more. Let's throw one more. They come into Jerusalem, and that night, all over the world, there are candles being lit. Now, there is one holiday in the Jewish calendar that celebrates the restoring of Jerusalem, driving out the enemy. That one is Hanukkah.
Yeah.
That it's the restoring of the temple and Jerusalem. On the night after 2,000 years that Jerusalem was liberated, the occupier fled. It was the night of Hanukkah. God timed it perfectly. The night that
you know that for a fact.
Oh, absolutely. And Jerusalem is liberated after 2,000 years on the appointed day. And there's even a scripture that's read during Hanukkah. And the scripture is, the Lord says, I will again choose Jerusalem. I will again. All happens on the appointed time.
And the return of the Jewish people continues to this time.
Yes. And here where now it says, it'll be a homeland. Now Jewish people start coming back even more and with a promise of a home. They before they were coming back under a Muslim empire, they were just coming back. Now it's the second Jubilee, second restoration, and everyone shall return home. So Jewish people are coming home. Just at that moment in Europe, Hitler starts rising. Nazism starts rising. You know, there's a prophecy in Jeremiah says, I will first send the fishers and they shall fish for them. And those were the Zionists started by Theodor Herzl. They said, come home, Jewish people. Come back to your land. Come home. Those the fishers draw. But then came the hunters, which was anti-Semitism throughout Europe. And now Jewish people are fleeing home. But it's interesting, before Hitler even rose up, God first in 1917 made sure they had a refuge. He gave them a refuge. He gave them a safe place before it even happened. So now all these things are happening. But notice something too, how God is in charge of everything. The Ottoman Empire said, no, we're not going to let them back. So God says, okay, Ottoman Empire, you're coming down. The Ottoman Empire crumbled after centuries is gone. Then Britain says yes to God's will. So God lifts up the British Empire to the height of its power right at that time. But then in between the wars, Britain turns against the Jewish people coming back, and they start sinking Jewish ships of refugees trying to flee Hitler. And you know what happens after that? All of a sudden, the British Empire, from the greatest empire in the world, comes to nothing. You know, and that's also, and this is going to link to why America is what it is today. Doctor, you can look at world history, and it's the God of the Bible is still in charge of everything, we're going to see he's even in charge of elections.
You know, Rabbi, a long time ago, it's probably 30 years ago. I had a conversation with a rabbi. He was an Orthodox Jew And I found him fascinating because what you're talking about here has been meaningful to me since I was a child. But I asked this rabbi about the return of the Jewish people. And I asked him, what would bring massive numbers back? It's already happening, but what would it take? I said, would it be an economic collapse? He said, no, it will be anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that today.
Rising up again.
You know, in this country, if you're a politician and you get the label of racist, you're done.
Yeah.
And yet racism against the Jewish people is everywhere and nobody seems to recognize the connection.
It's the oldest hatred, you know, and there's no explanation for no natural thing. It's supernatural. Ancient times, modern times, it doesn't matter. But that alone tells you something is happening with God, because why is the whole world hating this one little nation the size of New Jersey? I mean, it means something's happening because the enemy hates it. Because the enemy knows when the Jewish people come back to that land, his time is over, you know, because someone else is coming back. I guess it shouldn't surprise us, but it's there, you know. The other part
Does it shock you what's taking place?
It's shocking, but not surprising, because it's always there,
the
you know.
Four women in Congress, all hostility, and nobody condemns
it. Yeah, want to destroy, let's boycott the only democracy in the Middle East, you know, while the other ones are killing their own people, you know. And one party is moving away from Israel, at least, you know, compared to the other one, right? If America ever moves, this is the importance of elections. America was blessed because God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. And America is the most greatest blessing of Israel. And so no accident, it's the great most blessed nation. But if it ever moves, you know, I mentioned the rise and fall of kingdoms. Well, when we get to the 1940s, Israel's going to need a power, but Britain is turned against them. So God is going to raise up the other power. The United States of America becomes a superpower at the moment when Israel and this mystery and prophecy needs America to rise up, exactly on time. That's why we're blessed, because it's all part of God's plan.
Now, Donald Trump is the greatest friend that Israel ever had.
Yeah. And he's in this mystery. He's around the fifth door, but he's waiting for us there. We'll get there. Yes. But America is blessed as much as it follows God, as much as it blesses Israel. That's it. If we turn away from both, you know, then forget it. Because God is in charge of everything. He can raise up kingdoms overnight.
Yeah. Did it surprise you when the Golan Heights came back?
I was blessed. Israel? I was in Israel when I heard it. And I actually got a message from Paula White, you know, or someone was relaying from Paula White saying, hey, make a statement. I didn't even realize it. And it happened on Purim, which is a Hebrew day where God gives victory to the Jewish people. You know, it happened on the day. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that prophetic?
I think it's pretty cool. I think God knows what he's doing. I think we're going to see it. He does things at exact times, exact places, exact ways. It's amazing. I mean, and most of the stuff the world does not see or has not seen. And one of the reasons I think also, Lord, I said, this is really showing your reality. And I thought, this is coming the oracle is coming at a time when the culture is saying, oh, God isn't real. He's just from the past. God is so real, and he's in charge of everything, even those who don't believe in him.
And your faith is stronger than ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's what I believe it's for, also for unsaved people, you know, to come back to the Lord.
We're talking about is spelled out in a book called The Oracle, The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled by Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Kahn. At the top it says, from the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger and the Book of Mysteries and many others as well. So we're working our way. We're not going to get anywhere near. There's seven of these doors.
Not in this program.
There's so much
in
there.
I'm able just to give like a taste of a little bit. There's like about seven or eight mysteries in each door. But now if we go to the third door, Herzl, makes a prophecy. By the way, Herzl, before he dies, he has a secret. When he was a kid, he had a dream. And the dream was that he saw the Messiah. And the Messiah said, this child is going to prepare the way for my people for my coming. Because Jesus is not coming until then. Yeah. So the thing is that he makes a prophecy. He writes it in his book. He says, the whole world will laugh if we gather together. We founded Israel. This is a long time ago. It was all by faith. You know, he said they had a Congress. They founded Israel. They had an anthem. But there was no Israel. He said the world would laugh. He says, but the whole world will know it in 50 years. Jubilee, 50 years. The whole world will know it. So when did he say it? He said that in 1897. Add 50 years, it takes you to the year 1947, the year that Israel is voted back into the world by the United Nations, and the whole world after knows of now a Jewish nation. As he said it, but I looked even deeper, and I looked at the resolution, the plan that brought Israel back. I looked at the paper, the United Nations paper. It has a date on it. It says September 3rd. I said, okay, if you go back 50 years, Theodor Herzl wrote his prophecy on September 3rd, 1890. It was exactly 50 years to the exact day.
Unbelievable.
And this is going to take us, with Theodor, it's going to take us into a mystery behind an American president that you remember. I wasn't alive at the time, but American president at the time, but also the Jubilee and code, an ancient code from Moses that gives exact time, and so much there. But this is now, we're going
to head Harry Truman?
Harry Truman. And I'm going to head to the time when you were a child and your mother said this, there was so much of the hand of God in the mysteries of God. This is the third door.
Yeah. How does Truman fit into it?
Truman, God always has a world leader. Like when Israel came back the first time in ancient times, there was Cyrus. He was the world leader. He always has a world leader to give his seal. It's really the Lord's.
Not
seal.
Necessarily a godly man.
Yeah.
I mean, he was certainly not.
Cyrus. Yeah. Well, and Isaiah says to Cyrus, or prophesies, says, though you don't know me, the Lord says, I still use you, even though you don't know me. God used Truman too. Truman knew the Bible. Truman read the Bible several times before he became president. But Truman was a man kind of out of nowhere. God lifts him up out of nowhere, you know, at the very moment. You know, if Franklin Roosevelt had still lived, most likely Israel would not have come back.
He was anti-Semitic.
And he turned against the idea of Israel at the very end of his life. And so what happened? Just at that moment, he chooses a new vice president. A guy come from nowhere. He's a senator. Harry Truman loves Israel, has a heart for Israel. His best friend was Jewish, you know, from early on in his life. He has a heart. And he believes the Bible. But the thing is, he is sworn in as vice president. Less than 3 months later, Roosevelt dies, and he becomes the most powerful man on earth, Harry Truman. At the very moment that Israel is going to need him, that God's going to use him as a... There's a whole mystery behind Harry Truman that goes back to an ancient king in the Bible that's amazing. I don't know if we have time now, but we can start with it. It's amazing.
Take a run at it. We'll see how far we get.
Okay. All right. 11 minutes after Israel came back in the world, Harry Truman, America becomes the first nation to recognize Israel. 11 minutes after. But Truman's whole life is going to parallel King Cyrus, and he'll never know it until the end. Cyrus was in government for 30 years. 30 years. He reigned 30 years. Truman comes to government in 1923. He finishes in 1953. Exactly 30 years of government. Cyrus becomes the world leader when he turns 60 years old. Truman turns 60 and becomes the leader of the strongest power on earth. Truman not only recognized Israel as Cyrus did, but Cyrus actually told the Jewish people, he released them from exile and said, go back home. What people don't realize is Truman, he sends word to the British Empire and says, you have all these exiles from the Holocaust, you send them home. Basically, it becomes an order. They don't want to do it. He says, come home. And because of that, thousands of Jewish people start returning to the land before Israel becomes the nation. But the very day he sent the letter was Friday. It was a Sabbath. And there was a word. And you know what the word was? It was Moses on the mountain giving his first prophecy of this. God in that day shall gather you from all the nations and bring you back to the land.
Oh,
but now more. Let me give you another one. A year after he recognized Israel, a rabbi comes to the White House. You see, Cyrus had Isaiah to say, you're used of God. The chief rabbi of Israel comes to the White House and he says to Truman, in the Oval Office, he says, God put you in your mother's womb just for that moment that you could bring Israel back into the world. God put you. And then the rabbi opens up and he starts reading of Cyrus the king. And starts reading his declaration.
We need to explain. Now, Cyrus was
the one who let them go back.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar had fallen, and
70 years in exile, and then God raises up Cyrus to say, "You can go home now." He's the one who released the Jewish people.
He helped them
rebuild
the wall
to rebuild the temple. Yeah, yeah. He says that. Yeah, he's the one who issues the declaration. It's in everybody's Bible. If you look, and so the rabbi's reading the words of Cyrus to Truman, and Truman says, "Was I used of the Lord Almighty?" And he says, "Yes." He breaks down and weeps in the White House.
The
this is Roger Marsh, and we really hate to interrupt this broadcast, but unfortunately, we have run out of time for today. Dr. Dobson's guest for the past couple of days here on Family Talk has been author and teacher, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of this insightful conversation. And in the meantime, be sure to visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Rabbi Kahn's newest work, the book called The Oracle. Once you're there, you'll also find links to his ministry and other popular books as well. Simply visit drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the Broadcast tab at the top of the page. And again, be sure to tune in tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's recent conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He'll draw our attention to recent world events and highlight how they factor into the Jubilee and mysteries. You will not want to miss that program on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Have a blessed day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Now, before we leave for today, a reminder that today is Giving Tuesday. Now, for those who don't know, this is an online giving event that's really become a social media phenomenon. It takes place every year on the first Tuesday following the Thanksgiving weekend. This year, that's today. It's an incredible opportunity for you to give to your favorite organization or charity, including ours. Here at the James Dobson Family Institute, we ask that you prayerfully consider giving to us today. Your generosity allows us to continue to impact families everywhere. And here's the exciting part. Every donation we receive today will be matched dollar for dollar. Go to drjamesdobson.org for more information on how you can take advantage of this special dollar for dollar match today on Giving Tuesday. That's drjamesdobson.org. And of course, you can call us at 877-732-6825. Please know how much we appreciate your support, and we hope to see you online today.